Well, I've been speaking mostly in our morning services over this last number of months on the life of David, and I'm coming close to an end of that. And this sermon and next week, God willing, I hope to speak on the last two chapters of the book of First Chronicles. And in these chapters, David is coming to an end of his life. And in various ways, he sets us good examples of finishing well in life. Many of us here in the congregation today would believe that we are nearer the end of our lives than we are the beginning of our lives. And it's important that we seek to finish well in life, to make good use of the years that God is pleased to give to us. What would you like to do if you're presently in employment and you would have the opportunity to retire? If you could do whatever you wanted to do, what would you do? Now, of course, you probably won't be able to do whatever you would want to do, because your options will be limited by what you can afford. But if you're a king, you're not really limited in that kind of way. David wasn't limited by lack of wealth. He was a wealthy man, and affording things wasn't an issue for him. He could do whatever he wanted to do, pretty much. And yet, as we look at his life, we don't find him in his final years living out the modern-day dream. He doesn't end his life in a big spree of self-indulgent excess. He doesn't seek to enjoy blowing all his wealth. And he also doesn't retreat into a little self-centered world where he has time for no one else than himself. But rather we find that David ended his days looking to the future, planning for the future, and making provision for the future of God's cause here on earth. And in particular, we find him making plans and making provision for the building of God's temple. And we find him seeking to give good counsel to the people who would be involved in the building of God's temple. And in particular, he seeks to give good counsel to his son Solomon, who will take over from David as king. So today I want to speak about three areas of good example that we find from King David here in 1 Chronicles chapter 28. First of all, David sets us a good example in that he is accepting, in the way in which he accepts God's will. David, we find here in this chapter, he summons together all the leaders of the nation, and he addresses them. And he speaks to them of how God had put a desire in his heart to build a temple for the Lord at Jerusalem. And it wasn't just a passing notion that he had one day. It was something that he had really set his heart upon. This was what he wanted to be the final big project of his life. He says in verse 2 that he had made preparations, or that he had made plans to build that temple. But those plans were not to be. God had told him that he was not the man to build a temple for the Lord at Jerusalem, and that instead it would be his son Solomon who would have that role in life. Now, for David being told that he wasn't going to build the temple, that would have been a huge disappointment to him. He had his heart in that work. That was something that he really, really wanted to see happening, and he believed that he could bring this thing about. And when in life you have your heart set on something, when you have your heart set on doing a thing that is a good thing, well, it's not easy when that is then taken away from you. And there are many people who have dealt with that kind of situation and have dealt with it very differently from the way King David dealt with it. When David is told clearly that he is not going to do this work, he does not abandon all thoughts of this project. When he realizes that he isn't going to be the builder, he isn't going to have his name on the plaque on the wall, he isn't going to get to cut the ribbon for the new temple, he doesn't go away and sulk and say to himself, well, if I can't be the man who builds it, and if I can't be the man who opens it, well, then I want nothing to do with this. In recent times, Theresa May could have done that. She was ousted from her position as leader of the Conservative Party, and she could have said, well, I've had enough of this, and if I'm not going to be the person that brings this Brexit business to a conclusion, well, then I want nothing to do with it. Well, she didn't do that. She continues to serve as a member of Parliament. She stood for election. She was duly elected. And she's still there. She's still doing the things that she had been doing before she ever became a member of the cabinet or became prime minister. Because to her, it hasn't been the fact that she's been involved in it that has made it important. The thing has been important in and of itself. And that's the way that David saw things. As far as David was concerned, it was the work that was important. It was the project that was important. It wasn't who did the work that was the important thing. And so whether he was at the helm, or whether it was Solomon that was at the helm, or someone else, David was equally committed to that work. And in that, David sets us all a good example. And we should strive to have that same attitude. It is the cause of God that really matters. It's not what we do in the cause of God that really matters. And the Lord's work doesn't become suddenly important because you're involved in that work. It has always been important. It always will be important. And David was able to accept that his role would be a much lesser role, but he still put his whole heart into the work that he was allowed by God to do. David saw it not as being David's temple, but he saw it as being God's temple. And we need to have that same attitude to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. God gives all of us a role within his church, and he gives other people a different role. And God wants us to accept the particular role that he gives us at a particular time. For David, there was a time when he was the main man, but he saw that Solomon was to be the main man, but he remained utterly committed to the cause of God. And so David sets us a good example, an example of accepting God's will. God has different things for you to do for him in life at different times, but at each point along the way, we need to accept that this is what God wants me to do for now. Sometimes that can be really, really frustrating. Sometimes that can be really, really disappointing. There can be things that you have set your heart upon that you dearly long to do and to see happen, but you're not going to be involved in those things in the way that you had envisaged. And we need to accept God's will in the disappointments of life. David accepted God's will, and he gave himself with all his heart to doing what God allowed him to do. The second area of good example we have from David is in adopting God's plans. David insists that this temple that's going to be built, not by him but by Solomon, that it will be built according to the plans of God. Now, I think from the way things are worded that David had his own plans in mind for what the temple of God should be like. But those were not the plans that he passed on to Solomon, because God himself had given David the plans for how God wanted it to be. We find that in verse 12, and we find that also in verse 19. In verse 12, David is giving the plans to Solomon, and it says, "The plans for all that he had by the Spirit of God, of the courts of the house of the Lord, of all the chambers all around, of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries for the dedicated things." The plans that David gave to Solomon were the plans that God had given to David. Verse 19, David says, "All this the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, all the works of these plans." God gave the plans to David. And so David had his own plans in mind, but he had the plans of God that God had given to him. And David passed on to Solomon the plans that God had given to him. David recognized that only God has the right to be the architect of God's temple. And David submitted to the plans of God. And the same is true for us in regard to Christ's church today. The church is not our church, it is the Lord's church. And so we should not seek to have things done our way, but we should seek to have things done his way. And God's way is found in his word. And we need to be those who give ourselves to following what God has said in his word. We can all have our own ideas, and God makes us all different, and our own ideas are all different. But we need to recognize that our ideas might not be God's way of doing things. And that's something in which God will be at work in his people all the days of our lives. God has a better way than our way. And God's way doesn't always seem better to us. God's ways can often seem very awkward and complicated and slow and undesirable. And God can sometimes seem as if he is far too patient for our liking, and his timetable may not please us. But God's way is always better than our way. And the plans that David gave to Solomon were plans that were very detailed plans. They were very comprehensive plans. And what you have in 1 Chronicles 28 is just a summary of the plans that God had given David. The preceding chapters give a lot more of the detail. And the detail includes not just the structure of the building, what kind of rooms there were to be, and how it was all to be arranged and laid out and fitted together, but the plans also included everything that was to happen within those different rooms, and what was to be done where, and who was to do it, and all of those things. God's plans to David for the temple at Jerusalem were very detailed. They were thorough. And they went down even to the precise weight of different pieces of cutlery that were to be used in the work of the temple. The weight of gold that was to be used in forks, that was prescribed by God. Well, God doesn't have a temple today like the temple that was to be built at Jerusalem. Today, the temple of God is the people of God. Christ lives within his people. And God is concerned about the little details of the lives of his people. God doesn't just want a vague and general obedience to his word. God wants us to be serious about applying his word in every area of our lives. We can't just pick and choose to obey God in these things, but in these other things, well, we can have a bit of leeway and we can have our own way. That's the way we tend to operate. There are some things where we see, well, it's really important that we follow God in this, but there's other things where we just don't bother. We don't really want to think, how does God want me to handle this situation? Particularly when it's a matter of human relationships, we often just say, well, I'll just do whatever seems convenient. I'll handle this my way, and I don't really want to know what God tells me I should be doing. Abraham Kuyper was a great Reformed theologian who was also the Prime Minister of Holland. And Kuyper wrote that there is no area of our lives about which Jesus Christ does not say, it is mine. In every single area of life, there is a God-honoring way. There is a Christ-like way of doing everything. And we are called upon to seek after that way of God. And Christians throughout their lives will always be learning to do things God's way rather than our way. We'll always be saying that we just didn't get that right. And God is always calling upon us to follow his plans. He gave David these extensive, detailed plans for how the temple was to be and for our lives, how we're to think, how we're to speak, and how we're to live. God gives us detailed instructions in his word. And that's what the Christian life is all about. It's about learning to do things God's way. And it doesn't matter how long you may have been a Christian, it is God's line that we have to toe. If ever there, in the history of God's people, there were two men who had great gifts of leadership, who had great determination, who had great wisdom, and who had great wealth, and who could have been expected to come up with thoroughly good plans for the temple of God, it would have been David and Solomon. But it wasn't their plans that were put into action. It was God's plans. And God had to spell it all out. This is the way it's meant to be. And God does that for us in his word. And the blessing of God was going to depend on how Solomon followed carefully the plans that he had been given. Verse 7, it says, "Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever if he is steadfast to observe my commandments and my judgments as it is this day." And the same principle holds true today also. God will bless his people, not when we latch on to the latest religious fads and fashions, but God will bless us when we take time to study His Word, to find His ways, and to follow His ways. God says in His Word that our thoughts are not His thoughts. And so His Word needs to get into us again and again and again so that we learn to think the way God thinks. That requires great effort, great willingness to listen, great willingness to go against the wisdom of the day. As Christians, we will seem to be utterly foolish. I listened to a wee bit of a drama thing on Radio Ulster yesterday morning, and the implication of it was that anyone who takes religion seriously in these days is a caveman. Well, you have to be willing to be a caveman for Christ. Be willing to be seen as someone who's been left behind by modern society. God's Word requires us to seek the will of God, not the will of the people. And David was willing to adopt the plans of God. Set aside his plans, we'll just forget about those. And here are the plans we need to follow. That was a second area in which David sets us a good example. He accepts, first of all, he accepts God's will. And secondly, he adopts God's plans. Well, then a third area in which David sets a good example, an example of finishing well, is in his encouraging God's servants. David gathers around him the people that are going to be involved in this work, and he seeks to encourage them in the work of the temple. He's not going to be around. He's not going to be doing it, but they will be doing it. And so in verses 8 to 10, and again in verses 20 to 21, David speaks encouraging words to the folk who would have to do the work. Verse 8, he's speaking to all the people gathered before them, before him, and he gives them this charge. And he tells them, "Be careful to seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it as an inheritance for your children after you forever." And they were to be careful about all that they would do in this great work. They were always to be thinking, is this really what God has said? Are we doing this right? Is this God's way? Is this what God's plans reveal to us? And they were to remember that this temple wasn't just for them. It was for the generations to come. And they were to get it right for the sake of those who were following on behind them. They were to pass on what was good. And David encourages them that they need to do that. They need to be careful to seek out all the commandments of the Lord. And in verse 9, he speaks particularly to his son Solomon. And he urges him to see this not just as being a job that has to be done, but to see it as something in which he will serve God. David says, "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father, and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts." And David says, if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. David seeks to impress upon Solomon, this is serious business. You need to do this right and do it well. And he reminds Solomon that that God has chosen Solomon as the one man in all the earth who is to do this work. Verse 10, "Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary." He says, be strong and do it. It's a huge task that he was being called upon to do, and he needed to have the right personal attitude to it. He needed to know that God would be with him in this. And he needed to know that he would have the support of the people in this work. And David speaks about that in verses 20 and 21. And this was going to be a seven-year job, the building of the temple. But David says to Solomon, verse 20, "Be strong and of good courage and do it. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." And he says also, "And here are the people who will work with you, and they will be at your command." The temple had been David's idea, but David wasn't going to be allowed to build it. And David didn't give in to that temptation to be quite happy to see the whole thing collapse, the whole idea fall through, if he couldn't be a part of it. That was not what David wanted. David wanted to see this great house built for the Lord. And he wasn't concerned about his own role in all of that. David wanted to see the cause of God prosper, the people of God prosper. And so he did all that was within his power to see that work succeed. And David knew he wasn't going to be around for long because Solomon was going to do this work. But he seeks to finish life well. And so he is an example to all of us in our own lives. And let us strive to be those who keep going in the Lord's work and who finish well in the things that God gives us to do. Let's not be content to just think about the things that we used to do in the Lord's cause, but let's seek to be those who give ourselves with what we're able to give in the here and now to see God's cause prosper and flourish and thrive. We see David as an example of one who sought to finish well the life that God had given him to do. Last week, we saw our Savior, the Lord Jesus, finishing well. And he was able to say, "I have done all the work you've given me to do." He was able to say, "It is finished." And we're called upon to follow him and to keep going to God's appointed end time. Amen.